In the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. Our text for this morning is the 31st verse of Matthew's Gospel, the 10th chapter. Therefore, fear not, for you are of greater value than many sparrows. How many of you here this morning can remember having small nightlights in your bathrooms, bedrooms, or hallways as a child? This light, either in conventional shapes and colors for parents, or in cartoon faces for children, such as Bozo and Mickey Mouse, ultimately serves two purposes. First, to guide you while walking at night, and more importantly, to help silence the fears of a completely dark house. Throughout history, and specifically in the records of God's holy word, fear has run rampant in the lives and the decisions of so many. And yet, God, our Heavenly Father, has spoken to the prophets, to the disciples, and to all of us in saying, fear not. An invitation that rests solely in and on trusting our gracious God. Our text for this morning deals with the fears that the disciples had during their lives and their ministry. Fears that were real, alive, and very close to their hearts, as evidenced by their hiding in the upper room, behind locked doors, for fear of the Jews. Fear, in a real, tangible way, has separated the disciples from the promises and the eternal existence of Jesus Christ. Have our situations and our lives really changed since the garden and the upper room? Does fear still rear its ugly head with the same overwhelming result? Do we really, really tremble now? There are, of course, petty and insignificant fears, such as running out of chocolate syrup, which takes away your chocolate milk on the next morning, or having your television set break down in the middle of your favorite program, or feeling that you will not complete all your Old Testament courses before one certain eminent and dedicated professor returns from the Holy Land. There are, however, other theories that are not so petty and insignificant. Fears that due to a lack of trust separate us from God and the assurance of His divine protection. The fears of parents as to whether or not their child will be born perfectly healthy or with some type of physical or mental deficiency. The fear of having a child who is critically ill die before it is baptized. The sound of tires screeching in the street as children play on their hot wheels while you work in your backyard or in your house. The trembling and the anxiousness that is caused by major surgery on a member of your family. The often and the devastating fear that conscience brings because of rejection, loneliness, and failure. To feel as though your ministry and your whole life is without a purpose. And then to sit and to cry in silence and to break down because you fear that you are not reaching God's people. The fear of an institution, of not equipping, or caring enough about the personal and spiritual growth of each candidate. The night, it becomes a nightmare. The wind, the rain, a shutter, a door. The sounds of silence, they startle us as we step on a branch which snaps loudly while walking in the forest alone. It sends a chill down one's spine and puts a hesitancy in our voice. It even gets to the depraved state that the spirit takes over and the fear of unbelief sets in to the point of feeling as though God Himself is not true. The question is, how do you handle the spirit? In a recent movie concerning a large shark, the captain and his assistant are standing in the lower portion of the boat. And as they share stories and speculate as to how large the shark really is, the captain takes some questions his hand in order to show his strength in his absence of fear. To which his assistant responds by violently pushing his paper cup to symbolize the same absence of fear. Yet, in spite of all this masculinity and confidence, neither technique works. In our own lives, then, what is the solution? In our moments of fear, when our bodies shake and our lives are in turmoil, we hear God speak to us. I have called you by name. You are mine, I have redeemed you. We hear you are of greater value than many stores. And finally, lo, I am with you always. The broken branch of the forest which symbolized our broken relationship with God now becomes a magnificent cross on which Jesus Christ died in order to mend the abyss between man and God. Our Heavenly Father, in his eternal wisdom and out of his unending grace, has given his people visible means whereby our spiritual lives can be lived. In baptism, we hear, I have called you by name. You are mine. As we are brought into God's covenant of grace, and this provides comfort for all of us. In the Lord's Supper, we have the realization and the fulfillment of the words, "Lo, I am with you always." In approaching the Lord's table to receive his body and blood, for that brief moment, for that one brief moment, fear, despair, and loneliness are replaced with joy and solitude because of God's grace. In our worship, that same contentment and happiness permeates our lives as we focus on the cross of Jesus Christ and sing praises to his name. The same peace is a reality, both in our lives and in our ministry, as the cross is seen before our eyes. Jesus Christ, he strengthens us in our weak moments of fearful despair, and he enables our trembling bodies to be still once again, while wiping our fear of aimlessness and rejection away. It is interesting, and by no means accidental, that in wound and sacrament our fractured lives are mended together, and our fears are silent at the foot of the cross. We rejoice that Jesus Christ, the one Redeemer, lives to silence all our fears, and we sing praises to God that he sent his only Son in order to bridge the gap that is caused by fear. Thanks be to God that we are now and forever forgiven under the cross of Jesus Christ, the cross which guides and comforts us and drives away all our fears. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus both today and always. Amen.